We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Sefer Mitzvot. We're up to the Shor Shasheni, and we're on page Nun Hei in the Frankel edition, page Chaf Aleph in the regular editions, just under the bays in parentheses. The sentence begins with "Tchila yesh leforesh hashita azov yipshuta uvura." First, I want to explain this, and it's very clear. The Ramban has been on the attack against the Rambam because the Rambam has said that anything derived from the 13 laws of derivation is rabbinic, or at least that's how the Ramban understood the Rambam. And so the Ramban had said, according to the Rambam, it turns out that if a man engages a woman with money, and that form of engagement is derived from Gzeiras Shava, from one of the laws of derivation, so then you can't stone someone who commits adultery with that woman, because she's not biblically married. now, according to the Rambam, let's say we all do kiddushin with money, right? Arat mekudesh liv tabat zo. We say, I'm engaging you with this monetary value, the ring. So let's say just after you do kiddushin, her long-lost boyfriend shows up, he walks in, and Jack runs up to her and says, Susie, I've come across the world. Will you marry me? Everyone's looking in shock. And she says, of course I will, but he says, don't worry, we'll work it out. Gives her a shtar and engages her with kiddushe shtar. According to the Rambam, tough luck. Chaim, that's it. Susie just got engaged biblically to Jack. but I engaged her a minute ago with the ring. Yeah, but according to the Rambam, kiddushe kesef is only rabbinic. So it would turn out that if someone else wants to engage her with kiddushim d'oraisa, then it's over. He could. That's what turns out according to the Rambam. So first we have to explain this. It's really simple and clear. The Talmud says, how do you know that you could engage a woman with intimacy by their being together intimately? Rabbi Avu says in the name Rabbi Yochanan, Bulat Baal, the pasuk describes the woman as married to someone who she consummated the marriage with. That indicates that consummation of the marriage by being intimate, well then she becomes his wife. Rabbi Zera questioned Rabbi Abu. He said, why do you have to bring that pasuk? That pasuk says she is married to the man who lives with her. So that indicates that through living with her, she becomes married to him. Do you find it this disgusting the way Rebbe said it in the Mishnah? Rebbe quoted another pasuk. Why did you have to quote that far-fetched pasuk? The pasuk, when it discusses marriage, says, Ki kach ish isha uve'ala. One engages a woman and lives with her. From there, Rebbe learns that melamed sheniknet bibia. We derive that a woman can be acquired, they can get married with bia. So why do you, Rabbi Yochanan, have to come up with another derivation, be'ulas baal? She's married to the guy who lives with her. Why are you quoting that pasuk? Why don't you just quote what it says in Rebbe's Mishnah? Uve'ala is an indication that she is acquired with bia. Answers the Gemara, imehatam havamina de kadish ve'adal ba'il. Because that pasuk says, ki kach ish isha, when he engages her, uve'ala, and then lives with her. We said in the Talmud that ki yikach ish isha is a reference through the Gzeras Shava. The word yikach elsewhere is a reference to monetary acquisition. So ki yikach ish isha is an indication that you can marry a woman with money. Rambam says that's rabbinic. It's derived with the Yud Gimel Midos. But what does the Gemara say here? The Gemara says, if I would have used Rebbe's derivation, I would have said that the pasuk says when he engages her with money, what's the Rambam going to do with that? You understand where the Ramban's headed? And then he lives with her. So we say living with her also constitutes engagement. But wait, says Rabbi Yochanan, I would have understood from that pasuk you need both. You want to be engaged to a woman, you have to give her money and live with her. And then you're engaged to her. Because the pasuk describes, ki kach uvela. He engages with money and he lives with her. So Rebbe says those are two options of engagement. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, but from that pasuk I wouldn't have known there are two options. I would have thought maybe there are two stages that that are necessary in order for engagement to happen. That's why he says, the ulas baal, the other pasuk says he's her husband through the fact that he lived with her. That teaches me that with living with her he becomes her husband. Kamash Malam, that's why Rav Yochanan or Rabbi Yavu, in the name of Rav Yochanan, says, that's why I quoted my pasuk. Kilomal, says the Ramban. As if to say, Kiman dichtiv ki kach ishisha uveala, being that that pasuk that says uveala, and he will live with her, begins by saying ki kach ishisha, when a man engages a woman. The en kichala bekesef, and we understand, how does he engage her? With money. Right? Kikach ishisha, we say the word yikach means a monetary acquisition. He gave her money and he engaged her. He gave her a ring, the equivalent of money. So, ilu lo ne'emar pasuk acher, if we would have no other pasuk, lilmod mimenu kiddushei bi'ah, to derive from it that you could engage a woman with intimacy, hayiti omer de'achi kama rachmana, I would have said that what the Torah is telling us is, kikach ishisha bekesef, when a man engages a woman by giving her money or its equivalent. And he lives with her, then she's engaged him. If you do less than those two, that's how I would have understood it, that she's not acquired unless you do both. You give her money and you live with her, then she becomes your engaged, kiddushin. That's why the pasuk has to say that he's her husband through intimacy. To teach us that intimacy alone, shehi kona, that can acquire, that could make marriage and engagement. And then it turns out that by default you've also understood that money is a standalone too. Because originally, what would I have thought? You need money plus intimacy. Now you're saying, no, intimacy is a second option. So then what's money? Money is also another option. It's a standalone option too. Deki, kachi shisha, oba lakara marachmana. That when the pasuk says, when a man engages a woman, it means, or he lives with her in order to engage her. You could do yikachi shisha, how are you lokeach an isha? By giving her monetary value, kiddushe kesef, or by living with her. So the Ramban, you understand, he's coming with a very powerful proof. It seems very clear from the Gemara that Kiddushei Kesef is biblical. Not only is it biblical, but the Gemara understood that that's exactly what the words mean in Ki Kachi Shisha. It means he engages her with money. So then Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal asks on this, Shiv Shalanu B'Shum Panim Lomar Di Kachu V'Ala Tavayu Kama Rachmana. There wouldn't have been any way to understand that you really need both stages, that you need to give her something of monetary value and live with her. And that she wouldn't be engaged anywhere less than that. The Torah describes a girl who's engaged and still a virgin. How do you have that? The Torah says if a girl that was engaged was seduced or raped, if she's a virgin, then this is what has to happen. If she was not a virgin, that's what has to happen. Wait a second. How do you have a girl that's engaged and still a virgin if the only way to engage is by paying money and living with her? Meaning Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal understood that if we would have said that Kiddushei Kesef, that engagement with money only works as a two-step process, give money, live together, then she becomes engaged, then the same thing would be true with Kiddushei Shtar. He took it for given. He took it for granted that the same thing would be true if you give her a document and you engage her with the document, then it's only a two-step process. The document plus living with her. Dimayishna. Because what should be the difference? Tarbayu Kiddushininu. They're both forms of Kiddushin. Velo gamri belo biya, and that we would think that neither one is conclusive without intimacy. Kinyan bibnei noach debin and bulat bal. Just as we say when it comes to Noachides, their marriage isn't finite. They don't finish their marriage until they live together. They're not married. It's not enough to give her money. Ela midichiyev rachmana naramu rasa betula, but when the Torah tells us that you could have an engaged girl who is still a virgin, al kochenu ki kachi shisha uvala dam harachmana, then you have no choice but to say that when the Torah says you engage a woman and live with her, lav davat tarvayu, cannot mean that you do both, ela davat chan minayu, but it has to mean one of the two. Delamadnu mikan kiddushei kesef v'kiddushei biya. So then says the Ramban, so then what do you end up with? That kiddushei kesef or biya, but to the Gemara it's very clear they're both biblical, not like the Rambam. You can't tell me that ki kach ish isha is derived from gzera shava, so because it's derived, because the word kicha elsewhere, the root kiach, lakachat, elsewhere means money. Okay, so here it means money. So, no, it's midivrei sofrim. It's Ravana. No, you see from the Gemara, the Gemara is treating it as part of a doraisa. The Gemara's whole question is, well, biblically, is it a part of a greater whole, or is it its own whole? But no one's saying that it's rabbinic. The Ramban is just playing out the Gemara, throwing in his points, showing us how, within the logic of the Gemara, it's a given that Kiddushei Kesef is doraisa. The Rambam doesn't disagree. That's the truth.
What?
The Rambam also agrees it's doraisa.
Does the Ramban misunderstand his argument?
Let's wait and see.
Okay.
Let's wait and see. Let's hold off. My back pocket. Take my word for it.
No, I understand. The Ramban doesn't say that he is. You're just saying that from understanding the Ramban, you say that he's. That he also. That's your understanding of the Ramban.
Correct. Okay. He's not convinced.
No, I know.
One second.
Well, I just wanted to know what your source
was. One second, okay. I respect your not being convinced. One second. Okay. Want to turn to Mitzvah Kuf Samaches? Losa say kuf samaches.
I'm assuming this is something I can move.
Yeah. Lota say kuf samaches. Okay, so we have a biblical mitzvah that a kohen idiot may not become tamei to anyone other than his relatives. That the Rambam calls mitzvah kuf samach vav, 166. Then you have kuf samach zayin, that a kohen gadol is not allowed to go under the same awning, under the same canopy as a dead body, even if it's his own relatives. Then in Mitzvah Kuf Samaches, the Rambam quotes another mitzvah, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become Tamei to anyone in any form of Tumah. Now, he just said that in the previous mitzvah. You're not allowed to become Tamei. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become Tamei under the same awning. So the Rambam says, V'eshal shetachshov, you might think, Sheze inyan hakodem atzmo, that this is what I just mentioned in the previous mitzvah, in Kuf Samach Zayin. The pasuk says, "Al kol nafshos meis lo yavo." Don't become defiled for anyone. Your father, your mother, your this, your that. So you might think it's just a delineation of what you just said. The pasuk said, "Don't," and then says, "Your father, your mother, and everyone else." Why do I count them as two separate mitzvahs? Says the Rambam. En adavar ken, it's not the way you might think that this is just a clarification. Aval hem shnei lavin. But really, there are two prohibitions. Lo yavo, that he should not enter a home where there's tumat met, and lo yitama, he should not become defiled in any way to one of these metim. V'lashon sifra, it says in the sifra, chayav v'lo yavo, chayav v'lo yitame. Oh, so the sifra refers to it as two prohibitions. Lo yavo, don't enter a tumas oil, don't enter a canopy with a tummy maze, and lo yitame, don't become tummy. V'chen chivu b'kohen idiot b'din. Gzera Shava. Okay, so now we're heating up the arena, right? They were also mechayev, chayev biblically, a kohen hediot out of Gzera Shava. Wait. Rambam, Gzera Shava is biblical. Ramban says in the Rambam that Gzera Shava is not biblical. Amru, it says over there in the Sifra, K'moshikan gadol shenisalav nefesh mit chayav b'shnei lavin. Just as a kohen gadol who's prohibited from becoming defiled has two prohibitions on that, lo yavo v'lo yitame, don't enter a canopy and don't become defiled in any way. Ken gam kohen idiot, achal shenesar alav litame benefesh met chayav v'lo yavo. A kohen idiot also is prohibited. Those people is prohibited from becoming defiled for. He has the same two prohibitions. Aval anachnu lo maninu to, but we don't count it. Because of what we explained in the second root, what we're reading now. Is it biblical? Yes. Do I count it? No. Pretty clear in the Rambam, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So what does the Rambam
say? But here we count it as two prohibitions because it's two terms in the pasuk. So the Ramban has his understanding in the Rambam, but it's not so clear that that's the understanding that we have to go with in the Rambam. Now the difficulty is that the Rambam himself says that things that are counted, that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midos, is Drabonon. In one place he uses the term Divrei Sofrim, in another place he uses the term Drabonon. Divrei Sofrim has multiple meanings. Drabonon, well, Drabonon is Drabonon, right? No two ways about it. So, okay, what's going on is a good question. There are a lot of commentaries all around here that discuss it. The Kinas Sofrim, the Leif Sameach, the Megillas Esther. Everyone's busy trying to understand what the Rambam means. The Marganita Tova, which isn't even on the page, I think, somewhere in the back. Everyone's busy discussing what the Rambam means. I'm just saying it's not so clear that the Rambam meant the way the Ramban understood him. The Ramban is going headstrong against the Rambam, but you know what? What?
I'm saying the real problem here is the apparent contradictory language in the Rambam. I mean, it's not as fun. The Ramban, obviously, he doesn't have to say that this is what the Ramban means, but when you have contradictory language, how do you know what he means?
Fine, okay, I'm just saying, we have to wait and see. And, I mean, right now we're focused on the Ramban. After we finish the Ramban, we'll see.
Do you remember any good explanations for that?
There's a Marganita Tava here, and he claims the way I just read you in the Rambam over there, that all the Rambam meant was that it's not counted as two separate mitzvahs. But I was always bothered with that Marganita Tava, because what do you do with the Rambam somewhere over here that says it's Drabonon? You know, and there's a Megillas Esther here somewhere that also comes to the Rambam's defense. And there's also in the Yad Malachi, in the back of the Yad Malachi, he has Klalim in the Rambam. He has Klalim in the Rif, Klalim in the Shulchan Aruch. He has Klalim in the Rambam. So he also goes through that Divrei Sofrim is not Drabonon. But okay, at the end of the day, I don't have a clear shot in the Rambam. What I do know is that all over you see that the Rambam treats it as Doraisa.
It seems like the most expected thing here, I would say, is that the Rambam didn't, maybe was there some sort of mistake when it was written rabbinic. But the Rambam didn't actually write that, or something like that. I mean, that's the real problem, because if you go like the Ramban, then you're saying that the Rambam overlooked this whole thing in the Gemara and he didn't realize.
He didn't overlook it. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. So then he knew. But then you say, okay, so the Rambam saw that and still thought it was rabbinic, but no, but he also says it was biblical. So out of all those problems, the one that's seemingly most logical is that he didn't actually mean to say that.
Let's wait. I think there's, after we finish the Ramban, because you're so bothered, we'll reread the Ramban, and we'll see, we'll reread it with more intelligent eyes. Let's wait. Before you start questioning what everyone's been accepting for almost a millennium, the translation, let's hold off. I'm not contesting that. I'm just saying let's wait. And reread the Rambam, because within the Rambam himself, in the beginning he quotes, says it's Drabonon, and later on he says Divrei Sofrim. And we're suggesting that Divrei Sofrim doesn't mean Drabonon. Divrei Sofrim means something that the rabbis taught you that you couldn't have derived from the Pasuk, but that doesn't mean it's rabbinic. Okay, so then maybe sometimes some things are Drabonon and some things are Divrei Sofrim. We're assuming that the Rambam in this whole Shoresh is talking about one thing. And maybe he's not. So let's wait and reread it. And let's see, because he uses the term Mashe Nimtzeim B'Talmud Yismechuhu Elachat Miud Gimel Midot. They align it. He doesn't say they derive it from the 13 Midos. They align it. So maybe there are times where it's derived and then it's Divrei Sofrim. There are times when it's aligned and then it's Drabonon.
He doesn't spell that out.
Well, we have to know how to read him. Maybe he did spell it out and we just read it like Amaratzim. Let's wait. Lad. Back to the Ramban.
All these commentators,
fine. Laat. Right now we got to understand the Ramban. Then we'll come back to the Rambam. We don't begin to understand who the Rambam was. When he was six, it seems the Rimagash passed away. And he calls the Rimagash his Rebbe. So you tell me, how much can he learn from someone by the time you're six? I couldn't learn much. But he calls him his Rebbe. Says he was the biggest genius that the Jewish people have seen in his day. Let's see. Uparik Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. ועדיין אנו צריכים לדרוש קידושי ביה מבולת בעל. רב נחמן בר יצחק answers, no, we still have to derive קידושי ביה, engagement through intimacy, from the same posuk that Rabbi Abu said in the name Rav Nachman, בעולת בעל, that she's married through intimacy. דאם יקרא דבעלה, he comes back with another reason. If I would have use the pasuk ubala, hava mina de kadish v'adar ba'il kedama Rav Yochanan. I would have understood it the way Rav Yochanan says that you have to first give money, then be intimate, then she's engaged. Vidika kashalach. So you ask me, wait a second. If marriage, if engagement always involves their living together, how do you ever have a girl that's engaged that's still a virgin when she cheats on her husband and then the Torah says she gets skila? So Rabbi Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, "Kigon shekidsha b'shtar." Not the way you understood until now. You kept saying, "Well, if engagement with money means money and then intimacy, then the same thing with document. Document then intimacy." No, money is money plus intimacy, and a document works as a standalone. Now, it doesn't say anywhere that the document has to be with intimacy. If the pasuk would have just said, ubala, I would have understood that money goes money plus intimacy. Document works as a standalone. Shimto mavalo kesef kone, vishtal kone. You'll ask me, wait a second. But money and the document seem to work the same way. When you want to make a contract with someone, you want to buy someone's land. You can buy it with a document, you can buy it with money. So then how come when you get engaged with a girl, after you give money, you say you have to live with her? We would have said, right? That's what we would have said if we would have only had the pasuk ubala. And we would not have said that about the document. Why? I'll tell you why. I have another logic. I have a proof that the document works as a standalone. Being that a document can be used for divorce, and it's a standalone. It can sever a marriage on its own. It's powerful enough to bring a marriage to its conclusion with divorce, with just the document. So if the document has such halachic strength, then gomer u'machnis, then that document can also make marriage without anything else. It's powerful enough to make kiddushin without anything else. Aval kesef, but when it comes to money, I would have said, I would have understood the pasuk that you could engage a woman with money plus intimacy, but not on its own. Lefi she'en hakesef habila motzein klal, because you can't divorce a woman with money or with intimacy. You can't say, okay, here's a $50 bill. Now you're divorced. That doesn't work. The only way to divorce her is with the contract. Same thing with intimacy. You can't divorce with intimacy. So lefichach. So that's why if I would have only had the pasuk ki kachi shishau v'ala, I would have thought it means that when you're engaging a woman with money, you gotta have money plus intimacy. What about the fact that you could have a girl that's engaged that's still a virgin? That's because she got engaged with a document. You'll tell me, well, how come with money you would have thought you need intimacy afterwards? Why not with a document? I'll tell you no, because a document is powerful enough, a shtar is powerful enough to make divorce without any add-ons, so that's why it's powerful enough to make marriage without any add-ons. I'm with you.
Wait, I don't understand how there could be any question that you would need a star in a document if you have a verse in the Torah that's saying that you have somebody who's betrothed and is a virgin.
Right. We're saying that that's a proof that you could have engagement without something. So does that disprove both or only one of them? Why would I think we thought the two stand together? If engagement with money involves intimacy afterwards, mm-hmm. and only then she's married, so we said you'd say the same thing about a shtar.
But we can say that's not the case, because obviously because you have somebody who's engaged while still a virgin.
Right, but what's the logic to discern between shtar and kesef? That's the question.
Why is it not? Okay, so maybe you could say it's this kesef that she was engaged, or she was engaged in that verse.
Why should you make this distinction? That's what the Gemara is questioning. Why should a shtar be more powerful than kesef? And everywhere else in the Torah, they're equals.
Okay.
So the Gemara answers, no, they're not, because you can divorce with the shtar alone. So then it also makes sense that you could get engaged with the shtar alone. And then that leaves us with the capacity to understand that money is only money plus intimacy. Because I could discern between money and a shtar. The shtar is more powerful. That's what we've just proven.
Okay. So maybe could you explain to me why we see that we need money and intimacy?
We don't. The pasuk describes he engages her with money and is intimate. We said from that pasuk, Rebbe learns that you have two options for engagement: money or intimacy. Rabbi Yochanan didn't agree with that. He said, if I have only that pasuk, I would think there are two stages in one process, not two options, but two stages. The Gemara says, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that? Then how could he ever have a virgin that's engaged? The Gemara says, well, maybe she got engaged with the shtar. Well, why should you say if money requires intimacy, maybe a shtar does too? you got to give me logic to discern between a shtar and money. What the Gemara just came up with is a logic to discern that even though money has to have intimacy afterwards, the shtar would not. The logic is that the shtar is more powerful than money. I'm not getting across. No. Yeah. You explain it then.
If you can't do it.
That's not true. I'm not serious. Explain it.
Well, I just keep coming back on this. I keep getting confused. So there's one person that's saying that you need money and intimacy to.
He's not saying that. He's saying the pasuk. The question is, from where do I derive it? Everyone agrees, bottom line, in the end you have three options: money, shtar, or intimacy.
All of them are standalone.
Everyone agrees they're standalones. Okay. The question is, if I would have this pasuk that says money and intimacy, would I have thought that you need both as two stages? The claim is, I would have. That's why Rav Yochanan doesn't want to use that pasuk. The rebuttal is, well, if money requires intimacy afterwards, then logic would dictate so does a shtar. Even though the pasuk doesn't say it. But if that's the way you would have understood this pasuk, then you're ending up with no capacity for a girl to be a virgin after she's engaged. And that, as we know, is not possible. The pasuk describes a girl that's engaged and still a virgin.
Right.
So that's the supposed rebuttal. The answer to the rebuttal is, yes, I would have understood that money is a two-stage process, money and then intimacy. And I wouldn't have automatically assumed that if money must have intimacy following it as a two-stage process, then the same thing is true with a document that it's a two-stage process. Why wouldn't I have assumed that? Did I lose you yet?
Yes.
Okay. We have to write it down. No, you got it. Yeah.
No. I just had it in my mind. How should I say?
Okay, let's write it down. Do you got it?
I got it.
Yeah,
but
the whole argument is sort of theoretical, right?
It's what would I have understood?
Exactly, but it's not. No one's claiming that that's how we understand it.
Everyone agrees. The bottom line is you have three options.
Maybe I have it.
Go ahead.
It suddenly brings in the shtar, nachon, in the middle of the discussion.
I'm listening.
So he's saying, wait a second, when you have the shtar, that means you also have to have intimacy afterwards. But then you don't solve it, because if you have, it doesn't help you. If you have a shtar, then you still need intimacy. That's how I understand it.
Okay, let's draw it. Okay. We have a pasuk that we're looking for a source that a woman can be married through intimacy. Along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, Beulat Baal. Says, she's married through intimacy.
Okay.
We question Rabbi Yochanan. We say, wait a second. What's wrong with what Rabbi said?
What did Rabbi say?
The pasuk says, ki yikach ish isha. And we understand yikach to mean money. Ube'ala, intimacy. Okay? So why don't you derive from that? Mm-hmm. Answers Rav Yochanan. I would have thought these are two stages in one process.
Okay. That's why he doesn't want to use
it. So Rav Yochanan answers that I would have thought it's two stages.
So he uses...
Now, the Gemara's key question here is, how could you have thought these are two stages of one process? If these money and then intimacy are two stages of one process, then wouldn't you say the same thing for a document? That
is,
you require the second stage?
Based on the assumption that everybody's talking from the agreement that we have three standalones.
Correct.
Okay. I think I was missing that. Okay, so now I understand.
So now the question is, how could you have understood this to be two stages in one process? You agree with us. There has to be a virgin engaged, mm-hmm. engaged virgin, right? And if these are two stages in one process, meaning any time a girl gets engaged, it involves money, then intimacy, mm-hmm. well, then wouldn't you say the same thing for a shtar? That in order for it to get engaged with a shtar, why would you think a shtar is any better than money? There are two stages, and then you never have an engaged virgin. The answer we're suggesting now is, no, I would not say the same thing holds true for a shtar. Because a shtar is different than money, in that a shtar can divorce a woman as a standalone. Barur? Yofi. Okay.
But I thought when you divorce a woman, you have to give her money.
That's not what divorces are. You might owe her money as part of the agreements, but it has nothing to do with how you divorce her. You divorce her by giving a document. Back to the Ramban?
Yeah.
Thank you.
B'simcha. Where did we stop? Leficha chutzracha katuv lelamed beulat baal. That's why, had it just said this pasuk, Rebbe's pasuk, I would have said, claims Rabbi Yochanan, or we're saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan. These are two stages. I would not have inferred that by a shtar you need two stages, because a shtar is more powerful, it can divorce. That's why I need the pasuk. That's why Rabbi Yochanan needs the other pasuk of Be'ulat Baal. That's Rabbi Yochanan's pasuk. Lomar she'abiyah kona bifnei atzma, to teach me that intimacy acquires on its own. Va'kesef named me'lav, and you understand that money also stands alone. Dekikachi shisha o be'ala kama rachmana. Now, when the Torah says he engages a woman with money, it doesn't mean and does the next stage of intimacy, but either money or intimacy, either or. That's how we end up. This is what I was sounding like this morning. V'zo shita burahi. And this is clear, says the Ramban, this explanation of that Gemara. Shelo ukshale minara murasa de beskila, ela lema shedacha Rabbi Yochanan, hava amina, de kadish vehadar ba'il. That it's only after Rabbi Yochanan said that if I only had Rebbe's pasuk, then I would have understood that it's a two-stage process. So then I have a question. Lomar echa yaze ole al da'atcha. Then the Gemara questions, how do you entertain such a thought? Klal, altogether. Ve'lama utzrach lecha mikra acher lelamed she'ino ken. Why do you need your other pasuk of Be'ulat Baal to teach you that it's not that way? But Rebbe, who all along learns from the pasuk ubeala that you can engage with intimacy, lokashaklar, that's not difficult. He learns that the pasuk means either money or intimacy. And Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rebbe's bottom line. He just derives it from the pasuk of Be'ulat Baal, but he also agrees that I have three standalones. This, that, or the other one. Now, the Ramban, in a sort of underhanded way, has just knocked out everything the Rambam said. Because the Rambam, his preface was that, you know what? Really, All I know is that you could engage a girl with intimacy. That's all I know from the psukim. But I have a virgin who's engaged. So I guess, okay, you got to have engagement by another method. So that's why the Talmud says you could engage a girl with a shtar. You notice how the Ramban slowly played out the sugya before us and showed us how, the way he learns the Gemara, that's not at all the case. The Gemara was taken as a given, according to Rebbe, and also according to Rabbi Yochanan, bottom line, that you have three options for engaging a woman biblically. It's not that the Gemara was assuming, well, all I have is Bia, all I have in the Pasuk is that you can engage a woman with intimacy, and then the Gemara says, well, shucks, that can't be, because there's a Pasuk that describes a virgin who's engaged, so I guess there's another way biblically, okay, shtar. That's the way the Rambam presents it. The Rambam says, the letter we saw last time, the Rambam's name, the Rambam says, technically you're right. Technically nothing should be biblical other than intimacy. But the Torah itself indicates that there's something else that's biblical. The Rambam says, I just played out the sugya before you. That's not so. You see, throughout the sugya, the Gemara's assumption is, it's very clear. Money is there in the pasuk. The question is, do I need money plus intimacy biblically, or are they two standalones? But no one entertains the thought that the only option for marriage is intimacy. That is not what the Gemara said. The Gemara's whole line of reasoning was, do you need money plus intimacy or just money? And everyone knew we were headed for a bottom line that you have three options, money, intimacy, or shtar. So the Ramban just played out the sugya with his little footnotes explaining, wait a second, so the logic here is this and the logic there is that, but his whole point is, and this isn't what the Rambam said. So really he's finished his proof. Without spelling it out more than that, he's shown it. Umikol makom. Nonetheless, says the Ramban, mi shelibono kifo bekidushei kesef. He's got a guilty conscience. He's a little bit worried about engaging a woman with money. He says, hey, maybe it is only rabbinic. Yacholu lomar, demitchila hayu choshishin, dil mahachi ka'amar rachmana, ki ikachu ba'ala, dekadish ve'ahadar ba'il. Be'eze davar shetehebo kicha, או בכסף, או בשטר, או אפילו בדבר אחר. ואחר כך אמרו שהשטר גומר הוא מכניס, כשם שגומר הוא מוציא. אבל כיחה אחרת אינה גומרת, אלא כיחה אחרת עושה תחילה ליקוחין, וביה גומרת בהן. ולא שנתפרשה כיחה זו מהי, ועכשיו למדנו מבעולת בעל שאף ביה לבדה קונה, וכי ייקח או בעלה כמה רחמנה, אלא שהכיחה הוא השטר כשם שהוא מוציא, כך הוא מכניס. אבל קידושי כסף אין הם הסמך הזה, דאין כיחה עלה בכסף שאינו דבר תורה, וכל אלו שיבושים. The Ramban says, you could learn the Gemara differently, but it's a wrong way of learning the Gemara. So what he just did was explain a wrong way of learning the Gemara. It's one long run-on sentence. It was a little hard, I didn't have a place to pause. He says, you could say that maybe what the Gemara understood was that the Pasuk says, Yikach, he will engage and live with her. And then, what does Yikach mean? He will engage with what? I don't know. And you could ignore the other Gemara and just assume that when the Gemara said, Kicha plus intimacy, that Kicha was undefined. You will engage her by doing something plus intimacy. Maybe money. Maybe shtar, maybe something else, undefined. And then the Gemara says, wait, no, you see, a shtar, just like it can sever a marriage completely, so too it can make a marriage completely. And what? So you could assume, again, the Ramban says this is wrong, but you might claim that what the Gemara means is that a different form of engagement, a.k.a. money, or something else, does not consummate, does not make a finite marriage, but still requires intimacy as a follow-up. And then it would turn out with this understanding that the Talmud never explained. So how do you do that step one of marriage? Meaning, if engagement is really if what the Talmud meant to say is, well, a shtar works alone. And what? So the Ramban explained, and so does Bia, and so does Kesef. Everything works alone. But you'll say no. Maybe you'll argue with me that what the Gemara meant was, shtar works alone. But there's something else that doesn't work alone. Well, then the Gemara never explained what that something else is. Is it money? Is it something else? And then the Pasuk says, Be'ulas Mal, to tell me that Bia is a standalone. So then what's the bottom line? You have Kicha or Bia. What are you going to tell me? Well, now that I know that you can engage a woman with a shtar, and that's finite, that does it completely, well then, I'll say that ki yikach, the Torah says, he will engage or live with her, right? That's our bottom line. Yikach stands alone, and Baala stands alone. So maybe yikach now means with a shtar. The Gemara all along assumed that yikach is with money. But maybe that was so long as I didn't have a proof that a shtar is more powerful. Maybe when you conclude the sugya and you learn that shtar, well, that's so powerful, that works alone. And biyah is so powerful, that works alone. So then you're supposed to come back and read the pasuk, ki yikach ish isha, when a man engages a woman, somehow, I'm not telling you how yet, ubala, or he lives with her. So living with her, that's complete engagement. And how was the first form of engagement? Well, gee, I could say money, I could say shtar. Well, shtar I know works. So I'll say that yikach means shtar. Maybe that's how you learn the Gemara bottom line in the end. And then what? You'll tell me that money has no source. Says the Ramban, that's all farce. That's not a way to learn the Gemara. He doesn't prove it. He's just saying that's not what the Gemara was saying. Okay. The odd, and furthermore, Shari Basugiya Shahze, right afterwards in the Talmud, Bishmoash Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, in the very next sugya, in the very next topic in the Gemara, Mefurash de Kiddushei Kesef, Machilin Arusa Bat Yisrael Betruma, the Talmud clearly says in the next sugya that if a Kohen engages a girl with money, he hasn't yet married her, he just engaged her with money. Again, our engagement today is not their engagement then, but he engages her biblically. He gives her a ring, says, Arat Mekudeshet Li, what we do under the chuppah, they used to do as a two-step process. They did that a year earlier, and then only later they do the chuppah. So, the Talmud says over there, in the very next sugya, that if a person wants to, after he engages the girl, even though she's not a kohenet, he can give her truma to eat. They may know kone, and if kesef doesn't acquire her biblically, lama machil, why does he give her truma? What could we answer the Ramban? That's rabbinic. Truma drabanan. If I wanted to play hardball, so I'd say, okay, well, what do you want? The whole truma is talking times the Gemara, it's all rabbinic. So the rabbi said, they said. Right? If I wanted to fight hard, I could say that. Ubeperek ahu amru bebeyur al kinyan ha'isha bechupa shelo shanu ota b'mishnah. The Talmud over there discusses that really a woman can be betrothed, she could be married through chupa. And yet the Mishnah doesn't enumerate it. The Mishnah says, "Aisha niknet b'shlosha drachim." There are three ways to engage a woman: kesef, shtar, bia. That's what the Mishnah says. That's the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. So the Mishnah doesn't say chuppah. The Ka'amrit shalosh nana ba'alot nan. The Talmud says, "Wait a second." The Mishnah says there are three ways to engage a woman, not four. Why are you telling me you could engage with a chuppah? So the Gemara answers, "The ktiva behed yaktani." Because the Mishnah is only enumerating those that are written overtly, those that are not written overtly are not in the Mishnah. Okay, so what do you want? What did the Mishnah say? Kesef shtar bia. The Gemara says, why didn't you enumerate the fourth? Because that's not overt in the Pesukim. Okay, so it's no. What's the Gemara saying? Shema mina, you see from here, shakesef ashtar v'abia, when it comes to money, shtar or bia, kulan etzel tana dematnitin k'tuvin behed yahim. The Tana of the Mishnah considers all three written overtly. Shamidrashim it's not Gzera Shava v'Hekesh, because the way Chazal viewed Gzera Shava or Hekesh, Gufei Torahim. There are bodies of Torah, not like the Rambam that says, okay, so it's derived, so sometimes it's a body of Torah. But generally it's a Divrei Sofrim. No, says the Ramban. The Gemara says that this is called, it's written. וכן זו שאמרנו שאין קידושי שטר וביאת תופסין לשני במקום קידושי כסף דראשון. And what we assumed, that if Jack walks in, you remember our Jack who walks in the middle of the wedding, he just gave her the ring, he says, Susie, come on, he gives her a star, that's not going to work. It's obvious that that doesn't work. Then Bobet Mechush, you got nothing to worry about. No Jack could walk in after you gave her the ring. Kiddushe Kesef works midoraisa. Okay. So, the Ramban, we'll start the next paragraph, just because it's interesting. It's always nice to start. We'll start from here again next time. So, the Ramban just quoted this whole long proof that Kiddushe Kesef is biblical. ומכל מקום, and nonetheless, אף על פי שנתברר דבר זה, even though this is all being clarified, עדיין אנו בצער גדול, we still find ourselves suffering greatly, in כללו של הרב, with the rabbi's rule, with what the Rambam wrote here, שעדיין יש לו פתחון פה, because the Rambam still has a claim against us, לומר בשאר הדברים להלמדים בקש, שאינן תורה מן הסתם. He'll say, okay, you got away with one. But everywhere else, things that are learned from a hekesh are not biblical. Okay, so this is where we'll pick up Ezrachim next week. The next time, the Ramban says, I haven't yet finished my fight. I still got more to say because I haven't yet disproven the Rambam completely. I made one point. We still got what to talk about. So we'll pick up here next time.